Last week, we talked about how Detroit's bankruptcy, the largest municipal bankruptcy in history, could lead to a sell-off of $100 million masterpieces from the world-class museum, the Detroit Institute of Arts. This week, we return to Detroit to another museum a few doors down from the DIA, along Woodward Avenue. In the parking lot of the Museum of Contemporary Art, Detroit, behind a chain-link fence is a little house.
It's great when you're driving down Woodward Avenue and you suddenly come across this suburban ranch home in the middle of downtown Detroit. I think it's a sort of like, causes you to look twice, you know.
It's strange how it stands out in the city of Detroit because there's really absolutely nothing like it.
It's painted white with blue shutters, nicely mowed lawn. It almost looks like a movie set. The house is called Mobile Homestead. And it's the last piece of art by the artist Mike Kelly, who was born near Detroit, spent his career in Los Angeles, and died last year. It's a work of public art that contains very private secrets. Julia Lowry Henderson has our story.
The house Mike Kelly grew up in is in the suburb of Westland, about 24 miles from Detroit. It's owned by a retired barber named John DeBosey. After Kelly became a successful artist in California, flying all over the world working on projects, he went back to the house, along with his old friend, Carrie Lauren.
There were a couple times, actually, maybe two or three times that we went to the house. And Mike always seemed to, you know, he'd ring the doorbell and he'd have a checkbook in his hand and, you know, he was ready to write him a check, but he obviously didn't want to sell.
So Mike Kelly did the next best thing. He recreated the house on a lot next to MOCAD, the Museum of Contemporary Art, Detroit. The layout is just like Kelly's childhood home, but it feels like a school building or a clinic. It's intended as a public space, although he wasn't too clear what would take place here. Right now, the living room is a lending library.
I mean, in terms of the floor, I mean, it's vinyl composite tile, VCT, as we say in the industry.
MOCAD's John Brummett showed me around.
You can tell there's a puppet show going on in the background, so this is one of the, you know, one of the many treats I think we have in store for us as we continue.
There's also an electronic keyboard that plays constantly. But that's the ground level. If you go into one of the closets, there's a hatch. Open up the hatch, there's a ladder. This is not public space. Mary Claire Stevens, the director of the Mike Kelly Foundation, took me down, carefully.
Mike designed this subterranean area as a space where artists would work. It would not be accessible to the public, and it would just be a place for underground activities. He describes it as rituals and rites of an aesthetic nature.
The basement has the same floor plan as the ground floor, but there are no doorways to move between rooms. This is not some cozy rec room. They're like bunkers. To get from room to room, you have to climb down another ladder through another hole in the floor and make your way through a tunnel in the sub-sub level and then climb up another ladder into the next room.
It's not a very comfortable space. It's very strange, and it makes you feel like you're lost, even though, you know, you're maybe 20 feet into it or 30. You kind of lose your, you know, equilibrium or something. You don't feel entirely safe in there.
Right now, Carrie Lauren and artist Jim Shaw, another old friend of Mike's, are the only people allowed down here. It's hard to know what to make of the subterranean levels. They're creepy. Also kind of ridiculous. John Welchman, Kelly's longtime friend and an art professor at UC San Diego, read me something Kelly once wrote about tunnels.
Down, down, down you go into a secret buried chamber. And once you've gotten past your trauma, your conditioning, once you've gotten past your thinking that your life is surrounded by dirt, then things start to open up. In this blackness, can you tell the difference between the shifting claustrophobia of the living grave and the limitless expanses of outer space? I think not. So just relax. It's a funny quote, that.
It's funny, but Mike was increasingly agoraphobic. Was he hiding something down there? Or was he hiding from something down there?
He was obsessed with this idea of subterranean space.
And with trauma and secrets. Mary Claire Stevens says it started early in his career.
He's really well known from his work in the 80s, which included these work with found stuffed animals, and it's a series called Half a Man.
Mike sewed together stuffed animals and knit dolls that he found in flea markets. They looked pretty grungy. One of those dolls showed up on the cover of a Sonic Youth album.
It got a lot of press, and everyone thought, what's up with this artist? You know, he must have been abused as a child. He's making work all about molestation and child abuse.
Here's Mike Kelly from a 2010 interview.
The works I was making with stuffed animals or craft materials were being interpreted through some kind of politic of child abuse, which was not my intention. So I thought this has become basically a kind of American religion of victimization. And that's when I felt I started to have to address my own biography through these terms and deal with this problem through fictions of my own biography.
When Mike Kelly says religion of victimization, he's talking about the stories of recovered memories and child abuse that became very high profile in the 80s and 90s, like the McMartin preschool trial, where caregivers were accused of satanic ritual abuse of children. Kelly fixated on this story, and it influenced a lot of his work. In one project called Educational Complex, he built models of all the schools he attended. He made the models just from memory, and the spaces he couldn't remember, he left blank, and then filled in the blanks with videos of forgotten traumas that might have happened there. Kelly said he had never been victimized, but he kept playing with this idea that he had.
After a while of working with this kind of fantasy space, I thought it would be interesting to start to work with an actual space.
That actual space is Mobile Homestead. In 2006, he secured a lot behind the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit. He made the facade first and made videos of it driving around the city on a flatbed. Scott Benzel was his video producer.
What ultimately happened was the video became, as things with Mike often do, it became a whole, not just a single feature, but three sort of feature-length pieces. One headed west on Michigan Avenue, one headed east, and then one of the events that took place during the launching of the mobile portion of it.
Finally, late in January 2012, he hammered out all the details for the construction of the house. His Detroit homecoming.
Mike signed off on the video on Friday. He signed the contract for the completion of the artwork of the house itself on Saturday, and then took his life probably on Monday.
Kelly had struggled with depression his whole life. But in that last year, when he was working on Mobile Homestead, everything seemed to escalate.
A couple of us who had generally been in contact with him almost every day, couldn't find him, our phone calls weren't returned, and we called each other, and three of us went over to his house, and to cut a long story short, we found his body there.
Mike left no note. He offered no explanation. What he left was Mobile Homestead.
You know, I think people that are living try to make sense of it. And, you know, I don't know if we have to, but he was really kind of tired, you know. He was really fed up, I think, with the whole, you know, system of the art world. And you know, he had so much pressure and just, you know, he hated it. He had everything kind of in place. This was his last statement, and I think it's leaving with, I think, a very positive note.
When I first went through the tunnels, the thought that came to my mind was like, oh, you know, Mike would have loved this. He would have, you know, he would have been laughing. Yeah, he would have just been laughing nonstop at this.
This was the fundamental antithesis of Mobile Homestead. On the one hand, things that were personal, dark, private, obsessional. On the other hand, Mike wanted to produce the possibility of his own home, this place that stood for himself, in the end finally being able to do some objective public good.
Of course, Kelly himself wrote that Public art is often a pleasure forced upon a public that takes no pleasure in it.
The very fabric of Mobile Homestead, the very kind of the base on which it stands, is the idea that public art may in the end be based on lies and deception. It may be based on wishful thinking at the very least.
And maybe the public part of ourselves, the part we share with the world, also stands on a base of lies and deception and wishful thinking. That's what Freud said, more or less. Mobile Homestead started out as an ambitious piece of false biography, but it strikes me as Kelly's most honest work. Mobile Homestead is Mike, in its earnest but kind of silly ideas about community, in its big wink at public art, in the way it makes kitsch out of trauma, and the way it is genuinely kind of disturbing. All that is Mike. And in spite of everything he was going through, Kelly felt that Mobile Homestead deserved the chance to live.
I wanna go home. I wanna go home.
For Studio 360, I'm Julia Lowry Henderson.
Oh, Lord. I wanna go home.
You can see pictures of Mike Kelly's Mobile Homestead at studio360.org.